Hello, everyone, and welcome to Threesome Podcast number 21.
Wow.
Lex and Stacy have just turned 21.
You can legally drink now.
Yeah, you can legally do all the things we've always done. So who cares?
I know.
So how are you doing, Stace?
I'm good. How are you?
You sound really relaxed and chilled out. What's going on?
Oh, not much. Just hanging out, eagerly awaiting your phone call so we could record the podcast.
Mm-hmm. Are you drunk?
No.
No?
No.
Are you drinking?
I am drinking.
You are?
I am.
Knew something was different.
Because I'm warm and friendly.
No, I haven't even determined that yet. No, because you just sound like, you're... If a kid in the high school band comes by to sell chocolate for their trip, that he's going to get his brains fucked out kind of sound.
No. You just see the arm reach out and grab him by the collar and pull him in.
Yeah, just Anne Bancroft his ass. Benjamin, are you trying to seduce me? No, I'm just trying to sell chocolates, but if you want me to put my dick in you, I will. It's the way the kids today talk. It's not like Dustin Hoffman. You know, it's like, Mrs. Robinson, are you trying to seduce me?
I know. He's so square in that movie.
Kids today would be like, yeah, I'll fuck your old brains out, you bitter bitch.
God, she was hot, though.
Uh-huh.
She just had that kind of the, like Ellen, what's her name?
Barkin.
Yes, Ellen Barkin. They both kind of have that smoky, not quite perfect beauty, but there's just something smoky, sexy about them.
Yeah, I at one time didn't think there was any beauty about Ellen Barkin whatsoever, but I wanted to just drill the shit out of her. I mean, there was just something about her that was...
Like her... It's her eyes, I think. But I agree. Yeah. She's not, you know, a conventional beauty or anything, but she's just
She's like hot. That whore at school. You know, you knew she was fucking everybody, and everybody's like, ew, 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 and she fucks everybody. But you'd go home and go, man, I want to fuck her. God, I'd fuck her. If my friends didn't know I was a whore fucker, I'd fuck her. Yeah, that's what I'd do. But... I don't want all the nice girls in school to know I fucked a whore. So, you know what I mean?
Did that really stop boys?
Yeah. Stop me. Yeah.
Aw.
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought they would just deny it.
Our school whore wanted me bad. I was afraid to go to parties. Because I moved to Jacksonville in the middle of my junior year, so I was just new meat to her. I didn't know about her reputation or know anything about her. And she had me cornered at a party, and this guy goes, you know, looking to get fucked tonight? And I'm like, and it's a guy. I'm like, what are you saying to me?
Of course you would think that.
And he goes, Cindy, man. She's the school whore. You didn't know that? Well, no. Oh, my God.
Thanks for letting me know.
Yeah. She, like, comes back and talks
to
me.
So you immediately went out.
Yeah. Comes back and talks to me, and I'm, like, totally freaked out by her. I'm like, yeah, I got to get it.
I really don't want to lose my virginity on a beanbag here.
Now the Lex of today, when it went, you know, enough of the small talk. Let's go to the car and...
Or an empty bathroom.
You're the school whore. We know what's going to happen here. Let's not talk any longer. Let's go find a place.
We have a transaction to make.
Yes. I'm your next victim. Everybody here knows it. Let's go do this.
Why put off the inevitable?
Yeah, of course, what comes with that reputation are diseases. You know, everybody's like, oh, she's got this and got that. And it's like, you don't know that.
You know, and I came from a very, very small school, but unless someone kept it really well hidden, I do not remember ever anyone getting anything. There wasn't like that chlamydia outbreak that swept through the school or anything.
No, there was never anything like that in mine either. But, you know, in the end, I ended up being a total scumbag. Because, well, there were these three girls that I liked. And I had a date with two of them in one day. One was like a lunch date.
How old were you?
I was in my senior year.
And you were having lunch dates?
Uh-huh.
Because normally it's like when you go quote-unquote out on a date, it might be a movie or something, but you hang out prior to that and you hang out after.
No, I had hung out with her like at school and stuff and, you know, gone, you know, seen her at parties and stuff like that, that type of deal.
Gotcha.
But I took her to lunch. Remember, the drinking age, you know, because I'm so fucking old, was 18 then.
Wow.
So she and I were both 18. It was in the last couple months of our senior year. We both had turned 18. So I took her out. So, you know, we're sitting there having drinks and, you know, nice meal and everything. And she starts talking about this girl that I'm going on a date with in about 8 hours. And I'm like,
in what way?
Like what good friends they are and all this stuff. Oh. And yeah.
Oh, you are a scumbag.
And so I said, look, I don't really know what this is. We just, you know, we met at a party and I don't know, lunch day, but I just want to let you know, be upfront about it. I have a date with her tonight. I said, since you're friends, I don't want you hearing it from her, you know. And she goes, so you have like two dates in one day? And I said, well, this is really the only day I get to date. I work 6 days a week.
And I had to pencil you in some.
I said, and you and I don't know each other very well, so this is a lunch. She goes, well, how well do you know her? And I said,
I can get three fingers in her.
I said, well, I've known her like a month longer than you, and it's to the point where it's like a dinner thing, you know?
She's moved to dinner. You're still lunch.
Yeah. You know, and I was just trying to be honest with her. Like, you know, I don't have a girlfriend.
I'm Fred Garvin, male prostitute.
And in fairness to me, I asked her out for the following weekend and she couldn't do it. So she said, you know, well, can we have lunch this weekend? And I wasn't busy for lunch. So I said, sure. You know, because I didn't know she knew this chick. So there was another girl who
were friends with her too.
One of the girls was the girl.
It's like the Heathers or something.
The girl I was going to dinner with knew the third girl that I had been out with a couple times, but she also had been out with other guys. That relationship was just us going out and eating. You know, there was really nothing going on. We just, you know, kind of
watched each other shovel food into your faces.
Well, no, my relationship with her was a lot like yours and mine. You know, I mean, there was just some sort of connection there, you know, but it wasn't an immediate romance, sex thing. It was just, I liked her.
Just a slow smoldering burn.
Yeah, just not even that. It was like, you know, it's like those twigs they try to get on fire in Survivor and don't work. You know, that it was kind of like that. You know, it was just,
gotcha.
You know, and so she really wasn't a contender. You know, and. You know, the one I really
wasn't a contender.
And the one I really liked was the chick I was taking to dinner.
Which is why she got the primo slot.
No, she got the primo slot because she was just first. Gotcha. You know, the other girl was just a girl that wanted to move a lunch up a week. And so I did. Well, I go out to dinner. And I run into the girl I go to lunch with here and there. And she goes, Christy, I had no idea, you know, you and Lex were seeing each other. And, you know, Christy was one of these chicks, you know, that was kind of religious. So it was going to be a long time before I tried anything or got anything.
I hear religious girls are the easiest ones of all.
This one wasn't.
Oh, well, you're looking in the wrong places then.
You know, but she loved to make out. And she did love to do that, but that was about it. And I said, Christy's the girl I told you about at lunch a couple of times. And she goes, oh. She goes, well, I don't know if you know this, but Christy and I are friends. She failed to mention that she's been out with you a couple of times. And I went, yeah, we've been out a couple of times, but it's not anything, you know. So these two girls start rationalizing what this is in front of me. You know, so after a while, I'm just a bystander while they're trying to figure out who trotted on whose territory and what the deal is. And I pipe up and I go, listen, girls, this is kind of my fault. I asked Michelle to lunch a couple times and, you know, I said, Christy, you know, there was no romantic overtures towards Michelle. You're kind of the girl I want to go out with, you know, and all this stuff. And she turns to me, she goes, oh, so is that why you had lunch with Pat? I said, I had lunch with Pat because we were supposed to have it next weekend, and she asked if we could do it this weekend. So I know it looks bad. There's two dates in one day. And she goes, oh, good. I'm glad you know that. So,
and that's when woman number three started looking better and better.
So Michelle, the other chick, you know, that I just was friends with, you know, I said, Michelle, at some point, are you going to tell her what our relationship is? She goes, I don't know what our relationship is, Lex. She goes, and I sure as hell don't know what it is now. And I went, all right, look, I'm just going to be straight up about all three of you. I viewed it as, you know, I like all three of you. I've not asked any of you to be my girlfriend. I haven't asked any of you to do anything, you know, dirty or beyond your capabilities at this point.
That's after a brunch date.
Yeah. I said, right now, all I'm accused of is paying for lunch five or six times and hanging out with girls I like. Sorry. And from that point on, those three girls would not speak to me.
Well, I'm very sorry.
And I ran into Christy like 5 years ago in a Starbucks in Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. And she still will not speak to me.
Wow. You left a lasting impression. She might not have recognized you, though.
No, I reintroduced myself. And I said that whole thing was kind of silly, you know. I said, I really regretted it. I really wanted to, you know, date you. And she goes, oh, my God, Lex, shut up. And I said, all right.
That was 40 years ago.
Yeah. I said, that's fine. I said, just saying that, you know, I've been basically with about six women since. I'm not that guy, you know. I've been in long relationships, you know. I'm not
sometimes at the same time.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's what you get when you fuck me over. I'm not apologizing for that.
I know. I was going for the awkward. Yeah. Did it work?
No, not really.
No, that's too bad.
No, I told you I'm a sociopath about that.
You're not the only one.
I am Lester Burnham. I am Kevin Spacey in American Beauty.
So hide your 18.
I'm apt to buy a Trans Am at any moment.
With a big bird on the hood.
Oh God, yeah, and the scoop.
And the T-tops.
Air scoop and T-tops. Big fat tires.
Yes.
Glass packs. Fuck yeah. I
think I actually just heard your penis grow as you were talking about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it'd be awesome. So yeah, that's just one of those things. I was never the school whore guy. But I did run into the school whore about 15 years ago.
And
she was with her husband and a couple of kids. And she looks at her husband. She goes, I knew Lex in my promiscuous days. He was such a gentleman.
Aww.
And her husband looks at me like, so you're the guy that didn't bang her.
We try not to talk about the dark days.
And she was funny and delightful and didn't have a stick up her ass. And she was just, you know, it just occurred to me that she is who she is and she's always been who she is. She was the genuine person out of the whole bunch of those bitches.
Right.
In the end, she knew who she was. She knew she loved sex and she had it. There was nothing wrong with her. She didn't have any daddy issues. It wasn't anything like that. It was just a chick that liked to fuck. Period.
And you missed out.
I did.
Because of image issues.
Yeah. And I told her. I fessed up to her about it, too. I said, I didn't want your whore stink coming off of me, so nice girls didn't want to hang out with me. Is that stupid of me? She's like, very.
So you make it a habit of running into people you haven't seen in decades and then just unloading weird truths upon them when they're least expecting it.
Oh, they do it too.
Okay.
Yeah. Here's what I've gotten two or three times. I never expected you to turn out like you did. I'm like, yeah, I didn't either.
You know, alive in your 50s.
I didn't. yes. Yeah. You know, it's like we just, you know, they never thought I'd be what I ended up being. Because I kind of kept to myself and was quiet and. So.
Well, that's a lovely story, Lex.
And the only reason I kept to myself and was quiet is because I just moved there. I didn't fucking know anybody. You know, what am I going to do? Come down there right. And go, hey.
Why did your family end up moving to Jacksonville?
My dad got a job with Offshore Power Systems, which ended up being a big political mess and never did get off the ground. Westinghouse owned it, and there was all kinds of environmental shit about it. And he ended up going to work for a crane company, you know, selling heavy equipment and brokering heavy equipment and stuff like that. So,
gotcha.
Yeah, you know, that's how he finished out his career. He spent most of it as an automobile dealer.
I knew that. So yeah. That wasn't in Jacksonville, though. Or it was.
No, that was in Pittsburgh.
Gotcha. That's what I thought.
And they moved out to an area of town, built them a brand new dealership in an area of town that wasn't ready to flourish yet, and it went down. Went out of business.
Wow.
In the meantime, he gave his other business to his longtime general manager, you know, who they were best friends till they died. And he kicked ass for another 25 years in that location till he retired. So, well, bad good. Move. Bad business move by my dad.
But it all worked out okay.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, yeah, he... One of the best moments we had as a father and son was when I was like 13 and we were living in Akron, Ohio. And he had lost his dealership and he went to work for this big Cadillac dealership in Akron, Ohio. And he got fired because his boss was a nincompoop and he was trying his best to keep him from being a nincompoop, and it got him fired. And he came home one night. I'm watching Monday Night Football. I'll never forget this. And he sits down, and I'm like, "Hey, Dad." He's like, "Hey, son." I'm like, "How was your day?" He goes, "I got fired today, son."
Wow.
And I went, "Well, let's watch some football." He goes, "You know what? Let's watch some football." He goes, "That's a great idea." And
then he wept silently the rest of the game.
No, he came over and tapped me on the, you know, kind of patted me on the back and sat back down. And
was it a creepy Rob Lowe pat on the back?
No.
No.
No, it was very nice.
Just trying to picture it in my head.
No, it was like, thank you for reminding me that the world's not all about firings and hirings and work and all that stuff. You know, it was just like, you know, here's my kid wanting to just watch football with me.
It's too bad you're not mine.
No, it isn't. Thank God. Thank God. Oh, my God. Thank God I'm not your kid. Yeah, I mean...
So it was just watching football together that made it exciting, or was there something else that happened?
It was just the fact that he came clean and told me, you know?
Oh.
You're missing the whole thing here.
I guess
that's
I am.
It's just not something dads tell their children.
I wouldn't know, because my dad never got fired.
Yeah. I'm sure he never had his own dealership making shitloads of money either.
No, he was a okay, school then. Teacher.
Okay, so your dad didn't swing for the fences and was an underachiever. I get it. Somebody's had to be.
He had to get that next generation of underachievers out there.
Yeah, and I'm sure he did.
Yes.
What drink are you on?
I don't know.
Okay. All right, then. Anyway, this is going down a bad road, so let's move on to something else.
Yes. We start running the dad smack, and they're both dead.
Had a guy on Twitter that he was trolling, and he said, "Your show sucks dick." So I tweeted back. "So you're..." What was it I said? It's like, so are you like your mother then? Even he is a professional troll at the right back. Well played, sir. Like, thank you. Douchebag 76451.
With the egg as their Twitter avatar thingy.
Oh, yes, the egg. We love the egg, don't we?
Yes.
It just assures you that you have a newbie or you have. And by newbie, it's like, I don't know how to get my picture up there. I don't get it. Well, select file, select image, and click. It's not that tough.
It is strange to me that in this day and age, there would be anybody who would be a newbie.
Oh, you have no idea. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, my ex can actually get her email now, but it was amazing. Not that she wasn't smart enough to do it. She's plenty smart enough to do it. The amazing part was the unwillingness to do it. Almost like Lex.
Well, that's a different story, though, I guess. If you don't want to check your email and you don't want to know how to be on email, then that's one thing. But if you're doing it because you're intimidated and you don't want to learn because you're going to break something, that's a different. And I don't think you run into too many people anymore who are intimidated or scared.
Oh, you run into more than you think. It's pretty amazing how many you run into.
Are any of them under the age of 30?
I don't think so. You know, it's, I mean, we get some pretty strange calls from Lisa's family about stuff. Oh. Her mom's doing her best to figure it out, but her dad has no idea. We went to the Oklahoma game last week or the week before, depending on when this airs. And he was at the casino. And I went, please tell me you're not playing the slot machines. And Lisa goes, why? Why are you saying that? I said, because they plug into something. He like is playing games on FanDuel right now, you know, and he's got like her old iPad, and oh my god, the tech support calls we get are just epic. I mean, just awesome.
See, my dad died in 95, right at the beginning. It was January of 95, so the internet was really, really just starting to take off then. So he never got to be online. And bless my mom, she dove right in. You know, she's got her iPhone, she's got her iPad. Yeah. She is fearless and dives in, and she will learn stuff, and she has no fear. She's very tech savvy.
Yeah.
And I've wondered, because, you know, because of my dad, the VCR light blinked all the time because he had no idea how to set it.
Right.
But he did like computers, so we've had family discussions before on where he would have been at. You know, if he would have been tech savvy, or if he would have just finally curled up in a hole somewhere and went, I can't do this.
Oh, I love to be a fly on the wall for her calls home about tech stuff. It's the best. The power button. The power button! Turn on the power! Oh, Jesus! And she'll look over at me just cross-eyed, like, oh my God. It's like, the reason why you can't find it is you haven't downloaded the app yet. You have to go to the app store.
But, you know, that is for someone who
hasn't
dealt
with
that. No,
you don't have to get in your car to go to the app store.
Exactly. That is a totally foreign thing. I have some family members who got an iPad, and, you know, they went to the browser for everything. So, like, they were going to their browser on the iPad and going to Facebook. And it's like, you know, there is an app for Facebook that you can download, so you don't have to, you know, just trying to explain and then realizing, okay, I can understand where that is foreign if you've never dealt with it, so I'll cut them some slack.
You're so understanding.
I try, not always, though.
I'd rather make fun of people and joke about it. That's just me.
That's your charm.
I kind of suck like that.
But you suck so good, Lex. I saw this brief, very short story yesterday that made me laugh. It was literally two sentences.
I'm sorry, you cut out. You're back now?
Oh, okay. The story yesterday I saw on Jezebel.
Yeah.
It's literally two sentences long. It says, former Vice President Dick Cheney briefly emerged from his lair to weigh in on the Senate Intelligence Committee's horrifying report on CIA torture during the Bush administration, calling it, quote, full of crap, unquote. He then returned home and furiously masturbated over the report for several hours. That is all. I had to send that to my brother Republican immediately.
What's your take on torture? I mean, these are people that are slicing heads off and, you know, wanting ransom for the rest of the body and shit like that.
I wasn't shocked that it was happening. I think we all know that it was happening. If you didn't, then I commend you on being able to keep such a cheery worldview. I think there should be some oversight to it, though.
You know? That, and I think I should be the guy. I think I should be the Torture Oversight Committee chairman. Because I wouldn't harm a hair on their head. But everybody else they know and love would, all bets are on. I'd have Navy SEALs fucking their wives in front of them. I'd have their little kids sucking dicks in front of them. You know, it's like, hey, you were putting a gun in his head, in his hand at 7 years old and possibly getting him killed. He's just sucking cock here. He's just doing it in front of you. What do you think of that, Dad? You want to tell us now what the fuck's going on? Because we're about to wheel your daughter in here. And here's the good news. We're going to be good to your son because he's going to be fucking your daughter in front of you.
Oh, jeez, Lex.
That's right. Yeah, we're not playing anymore. Here, I want to show you the satellite imagery. This is your child walking to school. I'm going to show you this every day, and then one day you're just going to see a street and a school.
And a little blood smear.
Because he's going to be gone.
Yeah, but see, with them being gone, I don't know, the whole martyr thing and all that, if you're dealing, you know, with Islam at least... So, I don't know.
Listen, you got the best kibbe and tabbouleh salad coming your way here in a couple hours. Nothing but the best for you, my friend. You will eat like a king while you're here. You know, because nothing like a good TV dinner while we rape and pillage your family. You feel me?
So, it wouldn't matter the age?
No. Nothing matters.
Okay.
The point is, you have to be willing to go there. They're willing
to go.
Well,
I know. But I guess the question is, though, too, when do you lose your humanity? And isn't the whole point, and I could be wrong, I guess
I'm the torture czar. You're paying me millions of dollars to get the job done. Oh, don't question how I do it. Now, Haji, fuck
there's a difference between killing a 5-year-old, though, and I'll even say a 12-year-old.
Yeah, it's a 7-year difference. So what?
I don't know if I could do a little kid.
A little kid?
Because they're still young.
A little kid that's going to grow up to be an American-hating piece of shit. Peach fuzz on his face. Fuck America. You know, that little 5-year-old kid?
But if you save their lives and don't do something terrible, there is a chance that their perception would be changed and different. Possibly. I'm not saying, yeah, a lot of them will continue to grow up to hate America. But I guess, is it worth your soul blackening a little more to do something terrible to a 5-year-old?
Who says my soul's blackening a little more?
Oh, it would.
No, it wouldn't.
You're a big pussy cat. Yes, you would, a little bit.
Yeah, I'm a big pussy cat that likes good people to have good things. And when you're over here killing my good people and making my good people's lives rough and you're kidnapping them and you're cutting their heads off and demanding ransoms, then fuck you.
Okay, so off. Yes, we can all agree is a heinous, awful, violent thing to have happen.
Yes.
But does doing something terrible to a 5-year-old, it's not miraculously reattaching the head. Go for the 12-year-old. Leave the 5-year-old alone.
No. Listen, there'll be some gamesmanship first. Don't worry. I'm not a total heathen.
Okay.
I'm going to hire some of the best movie producers in the world to make some of this shit look real before I really do it.
I'm going to CGI your 5-year-old, and that's okay. I would be behind you with the CGI.
Yeah. But in the end, if I don't get what I want information-wise, then I'm going to bring him in person and take his head off. Collateral damage, Stacey.
I understand.
The reason why they do the things to us that they do is they don't think we'll get down in the dirt and play with them. As the new tortures are, I'm letting them know, not only will I get down in the dirt, I'll go 6 feet under to fuck you over.
That should be your new motto.
Uh-huh. I'm in my 50s. I don't give a fuck. Okay? Now, here, eat your dinner, man. You need your nutrition so you can make a good, you see, a good recollection of all the names I need out of you. You know, and besides, you're about to see some awesome TV. Just a few minutes away.
Coming up next.
Yeah. Matter of fact, I got good news for you. You're going to get to watch some porn. Yeah, pretty cool, huh?
That's what it looks like without all the clothes.
Well, let's see how cool you think it is when it's your wife with the Navy SEAL team that went in and killed Osama bin Laden. You see what you think about it then. See how much you like sex then, huh?
And we handpicked our SEALs for the biggest cocks possible.
Yes. These are the new Navy SEALs. New division.
The shoehorn division.
That's right. These guys, okay, they're not even SEALs. They don't even have to swim or anything. They just have big, giant dicks.
And they know how to fuck.
Yeah. And they passed the only test they had to pass. Do you guys like Middle Eastern women?
They either answered yes, sometimes, or no.
Yeah.
And we took the yeses and the sometimes.
Now, some of these guys we can do multiple torture with other countries with, but some of them are just down for the Middle Eastern woman. That's what we've brought in for you today. They're passionate, they're hungry, they're ready to do their jobs. They're patriots. Patriot missiles.
They've been on their strict no masturbation.
That's right. Nice. Yes. They've also
strict
been...
Strict no masturbation.
They've also been tortured. They haven't had pussy in 9 months.
And they're taking out all that frustration on your wife. Yes.
Be brilliant. I'd be brilliant at it. It's got to be somebody fearless. Does what it takes.
Well, I would be behind you on that.
Be like, hey, listen, if you don't want to give me the name, that's fine. Get the train together. Just picture the 10, 15 guys standing behind the guy's wife in fatigues. Just waiting for their turn. Each one bigger than the next.
And weirdly enough, she's not struggling.
Yeah.
She's not trying to get away.
She doesn't want you to talk. I guess she's not getting this at home. Huh? Now, you got a name for me? You can stop her pleasure anytime you want, like you always do. Like you've been doing ever since you met her. By the way, none of those guys are wearing condoms. You're probably going to have some, you know, Midwest babies. Sorry. Forgot. My bad. Forgot Oops. About that. Yeah. My bad. I'm so sorry. Yeah. You're going to be an uncle. Or a father. I don't know what. Father, I don't know.
Stepdaddy.
Who are we kidding? We're going to kill you after this anyway. You know, she's going to marry one of these guys. What do you think? Could I have the job, Stacey?
I would give you the job on that alone.
Yeah. I'll get him to talk. I won't lay a hand on him. They're all about the humiliation and the degrading. That's what they can't take. They'll take pain all day long. It's like, waterboard you. Shut up. No, I got something much more interesting for you.
Well, unfortunately, I think that's where, you know, women come in, the women soldiers and stuff, because they think so poorly of females, you know, which is why that infamous picture back however many years ago of what's-her-face holding the leash when that one guy was collared.
Yeah. It's a great picture. I remember that.
Of course, you got in a lot of trouble for it, but
yeah, not really.
I think she went to prison, didn't she? Ever? Because she was pregnant when she came back, and I think she either had her baby in prison or had her baby and then went to prison. I think she served some time for that.
Yeah, she may have served some time. She got her little wrist slapped and got a dishonorable discharge. Wink, wink. And probably still gets her pension and her because. To the Dick Cheneys of the world, epic. What you did was epic. Here's some Halliburton money.
Well, let's put it this way. I would rather see pictures of a woman having one of these guys collared and holding the leash and everything rather than, you know, your epic idea of doing something terrible to a 5-year-old. I had no problems seeing the picture of the chick with the collar and the leash.
All right. Say like you walk into a room full of cockroaches.
Okay.
And there's big ones and little ones and medium ones. What do you step on?
I just boldly walk through and step on whatever's in my way.
That's right. Well, that's what that 5-year-old is, a future cockroach. He's not going to grow up and be a sweet little boy. He's not going to grow up and know what's right or wrong. He's going to have years and years of those fuckwads telling him that Americans suck and off with their heads and fuck them and so on and so forth. And by the time he's a ripe old age of 13, he's going to hate our fucking guts. So let's not kid ourselves. Unless we wrestle that little kid away from them right now and raise him in a nice American family somewhere. He's going to be a capital douche. So we might as well just do it now. You see, it's my ability to see the big picture that makes this easy to do.
I understand.
Life's a chess game. I'm killing their future king. That's all. It's war, Stacey.
I understand.
There's no niceties.
But doesn't that make us just as bad as them?
Yes, because we need to be just as bad to them to get across that you aren't fucking with, you know, Leave It to Beaver over here, okay? We're not the cleavers. We don't do the right thing all the time. As a matter of fact, when you push us to our limit, we're pretty bad motherfuckers. Which is why this country started to begin with. It started because a bunch of guys didn't like what was going on where they lived, and they said, fuck you, we're leaving. And they came over here and designed a system to make sure that they didn't turn out just like them. So that's where we're at. We're at, oh, this is how we're playing? Okay. But the thing about us compared to other countries is once we kill babies and slice off heads and, you know, put, you know, killings of really bad people on national TV and whatever it is we can think of, you know, that would just be heinous and horrible to the rest of the world. At the end of the day, once it's done, we'll go back to being us. where that's who they are. Yeah, we will.
It would be nice to think that. I agree. But once you have opened that can of worms, I don't know if you can go back.
Well, I mean, if they keep pulling their shit, you don't want to go back.
And the other thing is, too, you haven't seen any videos of them, you know, lopping off the head of an American 5-year-old. Now, yes, I understand that when they do bombings and things like that, kids die. I'm not saying that kids are victimless.
Listen,
in this.
No, I'm not going to put a lopping of a 5-year-old's head on video. That's crazy. I'm going to do it right in front of his daddy. Nobody else sees it but him. Nobody else needs to see it but him.
All right.
I may even do it like a Batman villain would do it. Have like a giant sickle ceiling fan and have him just standing there.
Or have an anvil just drop on his head.
Yeah, and have the fan like dropping an inch every 10 minutes. It's like, you know, and then near the end it drops like 6 inches, like right to the top of his head. It's like, oh man, we must have some malfunctions or something going on. Your 6 hours just went to 6 minutes. You better make a decision. Oh, by the way, guess what you're having for dinner tonight? Him. I'd do whatever it takes. It's like you flew planes into our buildings, you fuck. Fuck.
Yes, they did.
Fuck you. Think I care about your offspring that's going to grow up and be a capital douche like you? Fuck no. I'm going to go home and sleep like a baby tonight. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that?
Not your baby, of course, because he's dead.
Yeah. I won't be sleeping as good as your baby. He's going to be sleeping forever.
I have learned something new about Lexi Poo today.
Yes, you have.
Yes. I knew you were dark.
It's not
I just
dark.
Had no idea of the depths.
That's not dark. It's business. Dark.
Then it's dark, dark business.
Dark is if I derive enjoyment out of it. That's dark.
Like Huck from Scandal?
Yeah. Exactly. Me, I'm just doing a job. As effectively as I can. And at the end of the day, when, you know, Mr. Cheney comes in and goes, "Did you get the results I need?" I say, "Yeah, I didn't even have to touch a hair on his head." There's a cleanup on aisle 6 and 7 and 8 with his family, but he hasn't had a hand laid on him. So if you want to throw him in front of a camera and say we don't torture, by all means. Just don't let them ask to see where the wife and kiddies are. I'd be hiring the Spielbergs of the world to create just insane death scenarios where it looks like I've killed his family about 75 times before I really do.
Well... Now, this is the guy, you, who our last podcast said, though, that you would not suck a dick to save your daughter's life.
Yeah. That guy better hope he's like me. But I don't think he has the dignity that I do. Besides... The big difference is I'm not asking him to do anything. I'm not asking him to do anything degrading to himself or demeaning to himself like you were. I'm just asking him to watch the great show I have for them and just let me know when he wants it to stop.
You know, a man sucking another man's dick can be a beautiful thing. It doesn't have to be degrading.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. Yeah, you can. If you're in a loving relationship, yes.
I think you're full of shit. Especially a Middle Eastern dude.
All right, yeah.
He gets forced to suck a dick, he offs himself. Those guys have some pride.
Well, what you do then is you just leave out a whole shelf full of really, actually not even sharp, very dull, rusty instruments of terror and torture. And he gets to decide which one he's going to off himself with.
No, he doesn't get to off himself. That's the thing.
No.
He just keeps watching me parade his family in and have a death of the day until he decides to tell me what I need to hear. Okay, we have troops here. We have troops here. This is our plan here. This is it. It's like, that's not what I wanted to hear. Tell me I'm handsome.
You are so hot.
You tell me I'm handsome and you tell me that I'm the prettiest thing you've ever seen. You say that.
But you are very handsome.
Then I'll let you go. I'll let you go back to wherever it is you came from.
But you wouldn't really, would you?
No. He's never.
Because that would just be silly. Oh. After everything else, just letting him go would be silly.
I don't know. I may act like we're flying them back there and then open up the door of the plane over the Atlantic and kick them out. I don't know.
See, what your best bet would be, videotape him sucking said hog and then broadcasting it on whichever country he's from, like national TV station.
You just throw it on Al Jazeera. Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, the leader of the radical Islamic world. Check this out.
I don't know if that's the right sound.
Yeah, I don't know what the sound is. Who cares? I got my information. He's not in my hands anymore. I've turned it back over to the military and they do whatever they do. The terror czar is ready for somebody else. It's like, have a seat, dude. I'm 10-0 this week.
The terror czar.
Yeah. What does that mean? That means 10 people have come in here and 10 people haven't gone out. That's what that means. But hey, maybe you'll be the first, huh? Sit down. God, I'd be so fun.
Like Mr. Blonde.
Yeah.
Cutting off the cop's ear.
That's right.
While Steeler's wheels playing in the background.
Uh-huh.
That is my absolute, probably very favorite Tarantino scene.
Mm-hmm.
And that is why I now would throw everything away from
the best Tarantino.
I liked that scene more than I should.
The best Tarantino scene is the lineup scene in Usual Suspects. Give me the keys, cocksucker. They have them all in the lineup. And that's what they have to say because that's what the kids saw. You know? And Stephen Baldwin goes out, King's cocksucker! And the rest of them were like bored. They're like, Kevin Spacey's like, give me the keys, cocksucker. And Gabriel Byrne, give me the keys, cocksucker.
I love him, too.
Yeah. It's like, mm-hmm. He just has a total yeah, give me the keys, cocksucker. Like, whatever. But Stephen Baldwin, give me the keys, cocksucker. And they all start laughing. Benicio Del Toro, give me the keys, cocksucker.
I wonder how many takes of that scene they had to do.
Oh my god! Oh, I can watch that. I can watch that scene and the opening scene from Glengarry Glen Ross over and over again. Fucking Alec Baldwin in that. You know, he's in the movie for 5 minutes. You know, first place is a brand new BMW. Second place, a set of steak knives. Third place, you're fired. What the fuck? What'd you say? Who are you? Fuck you. That's my name.
I wish he wasn't an asshole. I want to love him, but I can't because he's such a dick.
And Jack Lemmon in the back getting coffee. He goes, hey, what are you doing back there? I'm getting some coffee. Put the coffee down. Coffee is for closers. Jack Lemmon's looking at him like, what? And he goes, sit down. Like, oh my god, man, this is awesome. It's the greatest fucking scene ever.
You still haven't watched True Romance, have you?
Not yet.
You have to. Because I want to have a conversation about that movie with you.
Did I ever tell you my Jack Lemmon story real quick? Because I know we got to go. I was in the TJ Martell Foundation golf tournament. And our tournament was me, my boss, Steve Smith, Jack Lemmon, and Vince Neil. That was our foursome. And on the 14th hole, they had a hole in one prize. It was a brand new Lexus. I didn't have a penny to my name at this point, you know, because I spent all my money on cocaine and stuff. But I hit this ball, and it ends up, if it had one more rotation, would have gone in the hole.
Oh.
I mean, it is like Caddyshack, just teetering on the fucking edge of the hole. And I get up there, and everybody's like, oh, my God. Oh, that was, nobody's come that close today. It was amazing. I'm like, fuck me, man. You know, but I'm like, but I was like, you know, all gregarious about it. I was like, oh, man, well, hey, maybe. And Jack Lemmon starts going, look at that shot. Give him the fucking car.
Aww.
He goes, give him the fucking card. I mean, now, give him the fucking keys to the fucking car. He must have said fucking about 60 times. And he's got his arm around me. He goes, look at this kid. Can he look like he uses a Lexus? Give him the fucking car. I'm like, my mom would be so masturbating right now. She loves Jack Lemmon.
Oh, God. Paddling the pink canoe.
If we would have had like iPhone back then, and somebody videoed that, I swear to God, that would have made her life.
God,
it would have. She would have been because that was her dude. She loved Jack Lemmon, loved him. And to see him, like, you know, selling it out to get her kid a car, she'd be like, oh, Jack.
See, whenever my mom points out, like, one of her favorite old film stars, yeah, it's always like, you know, Mom, he was so gay.
Yeah. Clark Gable is such a fag. Come
she's
on.
She's like, no, he's not. And it's like, yes, Cary Grant was gay.
Yeah, Cary Grant.
Randolph Scott, gay.
Yeah. Rock Hudson, you know. Gay.
And not that there's anything wrong with it, but from my mom's standpoint of just the lust that she carried for so many years.
Yeah.
Like, well.
Yeah, it's sad. But I heard the timer go off, so it sounds like we're done with another podcast. This one was interesting, to say the least. People are going to hate me after this, and the best part about it is it's going to air during the week of Christmas. So,
baby Jesus loves you.
So, listen, I'm just telling you how good I am at a job when it's given to me, and that's all that is, okay?
And you take pride in that, and you should.
Yeah, don't read anything into it other than if they appoint me the torture czar, I'm going to be the best one, best torture czar you've ever seen.
It's American values right there.
That's right.
And nobody, work hard.
And no prisoners get hurt. Just everybody that's involved with them.
Yes.
So there you go.
Threesomepodcast.com. There, just saying it.
Say it again. You cut out.
Oh, threesomepodcast.com with the number 3.
All right. And that's where you can find our stuff and everything about us and all the great things that we have done thus far in our 21 editions of this.
Yeah.
I mean,
we can drink, baby.
Well, we could if you hadn't started hours ago. So,
we should do a drunk podcast some point.
That'd be fine.
I think we should.
Yeah.
I want to hear you giggly.
We do a shot every time you're a bitch.
Well, we better get the big bottle.
I'll be shit-faced. So, until that day, and we will do that, I promise, Stacy. It'll be on a Friday.
Yes.
We will do that, and that'll come up in a future episode of the Threesome Podcast. Until next week, bye.
Bye.